My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Would you still categorize this as a quarterback competition? If it is, how do you weigh what happens on the practice field here versus what happens in the stadium?
Very much is a competition. What happens in stadium is weighted heavier than what happens in a practice setting because it's more game-like.
So view Russell as having that pole position and being ahead of Justin in that?
You guys saw the depth chart that I released yesterday. That is real.
Okay, so it is real.
It is real.
That was Mike Tomlin.
It is spectacular. Russell Wilson is your starting quarterback.
That's it.
Yeah.
That was Mike Tomlin, the coach of the Steelers. He was getting hit with a couple questions about his QB situation, which I would say is one of the more intriguing storylines here early on in training camp around the NFL. Justin Fields, who by all accounts is at a very, very good camp, is one of the quarterbacks. Russell Wilson is the named starter upon acquisition earlier this year, and as Mike Tomlin pointed out on their depth chart that he worked so very hard on, but Russell Wilson is banged up right now. He's not going to play in this game tomorrow, so Justin Fields is going to get a few series here to narrow the gap or make his case to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, so you know, we asked John Harris about what he thought the chances are that Justin Fields would develop in this new scheme with a new offensive coordinator, maybe a little bit of a blow to the pride that you didn't make it in Chicago. Maybe that'll motivate him to really change his mechanics. John was skeptical. I love the potential of it all. And I think in terms of the Texans playing Justin Fields, this will be a really good warm-up for a season in which they face a good number of dual-threat quarterbacks, guys, and good quarterbacks in general. But they struggled last year when they faced mobile quarterbacks. They struggled a lot when they saw Anthony Richardson. The first game against the Ravens, Lamar Jackson's legs weren't as much of an issue because Lamar was trying to still learn that new offense. Mm-hmm. But his legs hurt the Texans in the playoff game. And, D'Amico's defenses, I don't want to say they struggled, but they weren't as good versus athletic quarterbacks in San Francisco as they were against other quarterbacks. So for when you've got hyper-aggressive defensive linemen, the challenge is always being sure that you still are also corralling the quarterback. You're not completely losing track of creating a pocket and group tackling him. I think Will Anderson might not play just because he's a little banged up, but you're going to have a bunch of starters out there. I'd love to see him get him on the ground a little bit.
Yeah.
And then not to mention, if you want to think about like the 49ers last year in the playoffs, at times they really struggle sometimes with like zone read type stuff if they're so aggressive that they kind of don't read the play in front of them. They're going to see some of that action from Justin Fields.
You tell me, these are the first five games the Texans play. You tell me if these are quarterbacks, assuming health, that these are all healthy quarterbacks. Tell me if these are quarterbacks that make you nervous with their mobility, being a Houston Texans fan. Indianapolis, week one, Anthony Richardson.
I've seen that before.
Yes,
I've got memories I can dredge up. It doesn't take all that much dredging
either. There's not even an opinion there that's inarguable. The answer is yes. Caleb Williams, week two. Does he scare you with his mobility?
Not scary, but scary. But he's not necessarily. He's not in that same category, right? Yeah.
Minnesota, we don't know who they're starting yet. It'll be Sam Darnold or J.J. McCarthy.
Caleb Williams doesn't scare me as like a rusher.
Right.
But he can hurt you by running around. I'm not as worried about that.
Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, week 4.
Not really. No. I mean, he can run, but no.
Buffalo, Josh Allen, week 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got Anthony Richardson and Josh Allen as 2 of your first 5 games. I mean, that's, you know, and the other quarterbacks we just named at least can move around a little bit. They're not Jared Goff, who's just a sitting duck right there, you know? So
Dak Prescott's not the same. I'm just thinking about the season schedule. Dak Prescott's not the same as he used to be since his ankle injury, but he can still hurt you with his legs.
Yeah, and Lamar Jackson's obviously the big one. Mahomes can hurt you improv-wise, things like that. You know, Tua a little bit. So D-line versus a mobile quarterback, that's a matchup you're looking forward to seeing. What's the next one here? Which one is
it? The Kamari Lassiter versus George Pickens.
Okay.
Now, this is the thing. George Pickens only had 25 yards receiving versus the Texans last year. Yeah. So I think that, you know, knowing George Pickens wired the way he is, even though it's just a preseason game, he's going to be playing pretty hard.
Yeah.
I wonder if he'll, not that he necessarily has a say in the matter, but I wonder if he'd rather dial it up against Derek Stingley or if he wants to beat up on the youngster. That would be his mind. I hope that he wants to beat up on the youngster and Kamari Lassiter gives him a bit of a poop sandwich.
If this were a regular season game, this would be a game where Derek Stingley would follow George Pickens around, right? Like, he's their only real receiving threat right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of that depends on what they end up feeling about Kamari Lassiter. You know, I think that in an ideal world, if you feel comfortable, depending on how you're going to play, that you don't necessarily have to travel with that guy all that much if you like Kamari Lassiter. But, yeah, it's not like they did it at the end of the year, but it's not like that means that they're always going to do it moving forward. I think with better personnel on the field, D'Amico might still prefer guys to get super comfortable playing one side of the field.
Yeah, it's a good point about last year. That last year could have been a one-off because, A, it was at the end of the year as a playoff game, and, B, it was against a team you had actually played 3 weeks before that where that guy tore the backside out of your defense.
That guy tore the backside out of you, and you had a bunch of injuries in the secondary that you were just shuffling guys around constantly.
Yep.
That might have been a break glass in case of emergency type
for
of situation.
For sure. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So Lassiter, if you were D'Amico Ryans, would you have Lassiter follow Pickens around just to get him tested as a rookie and see what he's made of? Or do you just play your regular defense?
That's a good question. I would say no, because Lassiter's only played on the right side.
Okay.
So I don't think all of a sudden they're going to have him just be like, oh, and by the way, you're going to be playing on all over there. We've gotten you comfortable with this half and this one third of the field.
Yeah.
But now we're going to have you cover the whole field against that guy.
Right, right. And Lassiter doesn't strike me as a guy that needs to be humbled in some way. You know, that feels like something you would do. Like, all right, this rookie's getting a little full of himself here. Let's let him follow Pickens around and see where it's at.
But it would be a good kind of a baptism by fire, you know? It just, okay, this is make it as hard as you possibly can on him the first time he's in. But I also don't think that this coaching staff feels that way about it. Like, they want these guys to have success. You know, you want to challenge them as much as possible, but you don't want to overload them to the point where their minds are blown.
Yeah.
So I think they're not going to game plan too hardcore. Plus, remember, you don't want them to see if they thought Kamari Lassiter could do that, they wouldn't show it in the preseason.
Good point.
And likewise, I don't think they want to do it with Derek Stingley any more than they have to just to keep that little wrinkle in the game plan.
All right, you have had concerns about the offensive line all offseason long, particularly the interior of the offensive line. This line will not see TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith or Cam Hayward tomorrow, but this is a, you know, every test for right now for the interior of this offensive line, every test is a good test right now.
Right, right. And 2 of their starters are playing. So, and you know, they're not, it's not like Casey Hampton out there at nose tackle or anything, but it's Benton and I always screw his name up. Ogunjobi? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I think so.
So they're 2 of their starting interior defensive linemen are going to be playing. So Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green will get some work against starters this week. So if they have a good performance, you know, we could take last week and say, all right, you did some good things. It was versus backups, but let's see if you can build on it. Then that would be a really good thing. I'd be really excited about that. Likewise, if they don't play well, Then I got to start to wonder about, like, okay, just how good have Foley Fatakasi and Mario Edwards been?
Yeah.
You know, how much of it is that they've actually been just new versions of themselves, or has it just been that they've beaten up on guys that aren't quite ready for it?
That's what I'm most excited for, Seth. I think it's just some truth. You know, like some, okay, how good is this? Like, I was on with Zach Gelb yesterday. And CBS Sports or Infinity Sports Network, he does the afternoons on there, really good host. So he had me on to talk about the Texans, and we got talking about Diggs, and my feeling about Stephon Diggs, and granted, this is without having seen the last three practices because we haven't been there, but the 10 practices I did see, he was their best offensive player, in my opinion. And my take to Zach was sort of like, because he was asking about Stephon Diggs compared to what the stats said about him in Buffalo in the second half of last season. And after explaining that, hey, that may have had more to do with the Bills than it did with Diggs, and telling him what I saw in camp, my final salvo was if the Texans have huge defensive problems, if this isn't the real, you know, if the Stephon Diggs that we're seeing, If it's a regressed version of Stephon Diggs, and the Texans have major defensive problems, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Nico in his interview with Kay Adams was very complimentary of the Texans secondary. He said that, man, there's some days out there. So, I trust that Stephon Diggs is a good football player. Nico Collins is a good football player. Tank Dell is a good football player. But Nico said that there's times at practice where they're like, well, I don't know where you go with the ball. You know, so I take that as, you know, and Nico's not necessarily a guy that's trying to say flashy things in the media at all. Yeah. I feel pretty good about the secondary.
Yeah.
And I obviously feel good about the wide receivers. I think Jalen Petrie, John Harris said that he's skeptical that the Texans will really show how they plan on using Jalen Petrie. And that does make a lot of sense. I do think that, for the role they have him in right now, I don't think he's going to be on the field 60 snaps a game. I think that he's basically going to be like a linebacker against certain personnel groups. So your nickel linebacker. You know, I don't want to get too technical about all of it, but sometimes you got a nickel back that's more of a corner, and sometimes you got a guy that's more of a safety / linebacker. I think they look at Petrie that way, but when they want to be manned up versus the three best receivers on the field, I don't think they want to have Jalen Petrie and man coverage on an actual wide receiver.
Yeah, do you think we probably see him quite a bit on like first and second down and things?
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, first and second down when a team is in a three wide receiver set, those kinds of situations.
Yep.
So, but John sounds skeptical that they'll really roll out their plan, because why bother in the preseason?
Yep.
Marcus Harris, who John brought up, and I'm glad he did. Marcus Harris, undersized defensive tackle, but I don't want to call him John Randall because that's just an unfair comparison for anybody.
Yeah.
But just like John Randall was very short but very solid, Marcus Harris is kind of like that. You see him in person, you're like, oh, this guy could beat up a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is not easy. He might be short, but he ain't small.
Yep.
Not fat either. He's just muscular. He's got to do some things to learn about how to deal with his limitations. You know, your size limitations, and you can turn it into a strength instead of a weakness. It just takes some technique. I think he's shown progress, so I'm really excited to see him just continue to. I think he's going to progress from week to week. He had some really impressive snaps in the last game. Also had some snaps where you're like, okay, yeah, he got buffeted around a little bit right there. He's got to learn to anticipate things a little bit better, but there's definitely something there.
He needs a new jersey number. That's my take on him. Number 59 is not a good interior defensive lineman jersey number. He needs a 70 number or a 90 number.
Oh, 70's rough these days.
It is?
Oh, yeah. It just looks like an offensive line. Oh,
okay, okay.
Who are the good? There's got to be some good 70s in the league that I'm not thinking of.
Yeah.
But it's you got to overcome a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's true. He may just need that 9 handle in front of him. Yeah, he's just 59.
He might as well be a white defensive tackle if you're gonna wear a 70s. Like you got to overcome a lot of stereotypes to break through. Yeah,
you know what he looks like wearing number 59? He looks like if they were making a movie, like a cheesy movie, and the Texans were somehow involved, and the people casting certain roles just didn't have any grasp of what body types were in football, it would be a really poorly cast D'Amico Ryans. Like they got, you know, they went and got like some 280 pounder to play D'Amico Ryans in the movie. You know how that happens in movies? Like, okay, there's zero chance that this person should be playing that guy.
I've got to get your daughter's take. So for those of you who don't know, Sean's daughter was a very, very good college cross-country runner. But that Kevin Costner Disney movie based on a true life story about this college that he – or this small high school that he went off to coach, very impoverished
community
yeah. of a lot of Mexican-American farm workers.
McFarland, USA.
McFarland, USA. Yeah. But, like, the guy that they chose to play – the best runner on the team, like the superstar, looks like a high school nose tackle. Okay. Like he's this stocky little dude. He looks more like Marcus Harris, like a guy that should play Marcus Harris than a guy that should play a cross country runner. Okay. Maybe that was part of why they did it, like because they wanted him to be an underdog in so many yeah. ways. But I got to get her take on that.
I'll text her during the break. It's
she needs to call in.
She's in France right now.
You can't afford the international plan, Sean? Sorry.
Trust me. Dude, I'm getting peppered by her bill and Sammy's bill at the same time. He's over there, too, at the Olympics. He just landed like an hour ago.
I've got my college student is doing a summer session in Barbados.
So you
and I
know.
Just got hit with the maxed out the data limit on the international plan. Well, these kids, they've got them out on like some reserve studying monkeys and, but the life goes on back in the States, stateside. That's what we call
it. Kids live good lives, man. That's
spoiled little bastards.
Yeah.
Ruin the family business.
I had no idea that both of my, like Judy sent me a picture from the, literally like from the runway leaving. She's like, Charlie and I are leaving to go to France. I'm like, oh, that must be nice. Just toddling off to France. Got that Survivor runner-up money, you know?
Meanwhile, she's got a video up on TikTok about how hard it is to make it these days with a college degree.
Probably, yeah.
I've only taken one trip to France this year.
Yep.
I can only afford 3 Starbucks a week. How do people live?
I'm like, why? You guys are going to the Olympics? And she's like, yeah, well, they have some of their former teammates are running. This Gabby Thomas that just won the 200 meters yesterday.
Yeah.
She was one of their teammates in college, and there's a couple other distance runners that were teammates. So they're over there supporting the cause.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Where does an actual runner want to be during the race, like to watch a... Oh,
that's a good question.
Well, they're in the stadium there because there's no cross-country
track,
there. It's just 3,000. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they're over there. Sammy's over there, I think, to watch the Olympics, but he's meeting a bunch of buddies, and they have an Airbnb, and he's probably going to come home with some girlfriend named Babette that doesn't speak any English or something like that.
I hope he knocks up a woman over there and gets an anchor baby in France.
Yeah, me too. Dude, I'm not ready to be a grandfather.
Sammy should have kids now. No. I think he should. No, he should.
You should?
He's, I think he's going to, because he's going to be a fun dad.
Oh, he will
except
be a
being
fun
a
dad.
Young lawyer, I don't know, with kids at home. Then all of a sudden, the guys at the firm start to think you're soft because you want to spend time with your family. Okay, all right.
And you're
hold off on it, Sammy.
Please hold off on it, Sammy. Sacre bleu! I knocked her up. Oh no!
What if he comes home with like a striped shirt and a beret? What if he becomes? What if Sammy comes home an annoying wannabe Francophile?
That's it. And my other son's going to Italy at the end of the month. Like, what's up with these kids, man? It's crazy.
I bet James is going for work.
No, pleasure. He's had this plan for a while. Yeah, he is going to some wineries over there, and that's part. He works for a big liquor distributor, and he handles some of their big wine accounts. So I think he is getting the hookup over there at a couple of places at some wineries. So it's tangentially tied to business, but it's for pleasure. He's going with some buddies.
What does he work out? Well, he works on the accounting side of things. It's not like he's, is he more of a wine or a beer guy for that distributorship?
He's really into wine lately.
He
actually went and got that certification that you get. I forget what it's called, but there's a certain certification.
A sommelier?
I don't know if he's officially a sommelier, but it's a certain level of certification with wine where he can speak and tell. It's I guess it's more of like a validator for clients and things like that. Like, oh, this guy knows a lot about wine. He's got this degree or this certification or whatever.
He's not like me when the waiter shows me the cork and has me taste it. And I'm like, man, if this is anything other than vinegar, it's going to be good. All right.
You and me both.
I've never sent a bottle of wine back. And I think I've powered through some bad ones. I just don't have the confidence to do it.
Same. All right, Josh Allen was asked yesterday, does he miss Stephon Diggs? Man, he gave an answer, and that thing is being parsed out and chopped up by TV today. We will do the exact same thing and see where he went wrong with his answer. Do we think he misses Stephon Diggs? That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, here was Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills quarterback, when he was asked yesterday, do you miss Stephon Diggs?
Steph's a great player, and what he brought to this team was special. So miss is I don't know if I'd say miss. You know, he was a guy that was reliable. You can look to. He's going to have the juice each and every day. I'm sure he's bringing it over there in Houston. So definitely, yeah, you can't say that you don't miss that. But I am very happy with what we got going on here and how hard the guys have been working. And yeah.
Yeah, this is like you could tell right there immediately. He's asked if he misses Stephon Diggs. And like he knows. I would say that he knows that's a headline bait question, because the word miss has so many connotations to it that it's very easily turned into, boy, Josh Allen says he misses Stephon Diggs, and then it becomes an insult to the current crop of wide receivers you have. So in that very same quote, he says, I wouldn't say miss, but then he says it's hard not to miss a guy like that. Yeah.
Yeah. The cut, it's really interesting on Good Morning Football. The cut that they took out of that and made into a caption across the bottom of the screen was, quote, I don't know if I'd say miss, .. He was a guy that was reliable, end quote.
Yeah. That's so messed up, man. Because the headline. The headline that I had grabbed, and I searched the headlines out of the first four that popped up. The most egregious and irresponsible was Josh Allen sounds like he couldn't wait to get Stephon Diggs out of the Bills locker room.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell are you talking? If you take the substance of that quote, if anything, you know, he said a lot more about the good things about Stephon Diggs. It's just because he kind of tried to tiptoe around the word miss.
Yes.
That it opened it up to people to interpret that any way they wanted. They can make it, they can take a snippet of that quote and make it look like he hates his current wide receivers. They can make it look like he couldn't wait to get Josh. To get Stephon Diggs out of the building. It's, I'm angry. I'm angry not even for Stephon Diggs, although because I think Stephon Diggs has been through it so many times, and he's put himself there. I'm not going to act like he didn't put himself there because of it. But it's just they are dead set on creating drama out of this, whether it's there or not.
Oh, yeah.
That article was going to be written almost no matter how Josh Allen answered that question.
Yeah.
The only thing, and this is why, the damn writers themselves, they hate cliches when athletes give cliches. This is why they give cliches, you stupid English literature dropouts, because the right answer there is, hey, we're always moving forward in this business. You know, we've got a growth mindset and things change every single year. So you can't spend too much time worrying about how things were in the past. I love the guys we have right now, yada, 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 yada. But because he tried to give a thoughtful answer and be fair and diplomatic, and he was trying not to pour fuel on the fire, because he didn't do it perfectly, it turned it into a kerosene fire.
I want to play it again, we'll hit it here in a second, Ben, but I'm just looking. Seth, all I did was put in Google, I put in Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. That's all I put in.
Yeah.
No words that are going to steer it one way, just their two names. And the headlines that come up, Bills QB Josh Allen again opens up about Stephon Diggs trade. I think that's pretty accurate. That's pretty benign. The next two are hilarious. Josh Allen's odd response to whether he misses Texans' Stephon Diggs,
yeah,
which I didn't find his response really odd. I mean, he was dancing a little bit. This is a beautiful one. Did Josh Allen take subtle jab at former teammate Stephon Diggs? So play it one more time. Is there anything that you hear when you listen to this that's either odd, their quote, or that is can be construed as a subtle jab at Stephon Diggs?
Steph's a great player, and what he brought to this team was special. So miss is I don't know if I'd say miss. You know, he was a guy that was reliable. You can look to. He's going to have the juice each and every day. I'm sure he's bringing it over there in Houston. So definitely, yeah, you can't say that you don't miss that. But I am very happy with what we got going on here and how hard the guys have been working. And yeah.
I can totally see, especially if what you're looking for is an answer where he's throwing shade at Stephon Diggs. I can totally see where this is one of those instances where if you read the transcript, you would totally read it that way. Yeah. The way I read it is I'm putting myself in the situation of the athlete, because this is the same thing that happens whenever they ask you about an injured player on your own team. A guy's injured on your own team. You don't want to talk about how much you're going to miss that guy. This happened. I remember when Kylie Wong got hurt and Deshaun Polk was going to replace him. And so Kylie Wong's a linebacker, gets hurt, really ugly injury in the Seattle game. But they asked me how much will the defense miss Kylie Wong. And you're put in this position where you're like, man, I really want to give Deshaun Polk as much support as possible. He doesn't need to be reading quotes about how devastating a loss it is. But at the same time, I want to do right by Kylie Wong. So you gotta just spit out the cliches, you know? And it's a hard spot to be in. Like, the way I interpreted it was miss is a loaded word. Like, Josh in that moment when he says miss, he's saying, well, I would have said miss is a loaded word with a lot of connotations.
Yeah.
And I see what you're going for here, man. And I'm not going to give it to
you. You would have called the questioner out.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. It's funny, the quote that is getting parsed out on the NFL Network, the caption, to me, if there's a subtle dig going on or subtle jab going on at Diggs, I read that quote. This is how I read it, Seth, just as a fan looking at a TV screen, knowing that it's a complicated relationship also between Josh mm-hmm. Allen and Stephon Diggs. Like, it wasn't perfect. Otherwise, they might still be teammates. But the quote, I don't know if I'd say miss, ... He was a guy that was reliable, end quote. Like, when I read that, especially knowing how mercurial Stephon Diggs is and how highly Stephon Diggs thinks of Stephon Diggs,
yeah.
That to me, when the adjective you use for somebody is reliable. And then they cut the quote there, because after that, Josh Allen said all kinds of glowing things about how much juice Steph brings, but they didn't include that.
Right.
When they stopped at reliable, this is like called to me when you call a receiver reliable as an answer to a question, do you miss the guy? It's like calling a quarterback a game manager. It's, oh, yeah, he's reliable.
But, yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. Yeah. So this whole scenario has been, it's like when somebody plays a practical joke that doesn't actually land, and the person that's having the joke played on them doesn't even give a reaction.
Yeah.
And the person who plays the practical joke is like, oh, yeah, you should have seen your face. Oh, my God. And they're the most annoying people on earth.
Yeah.
And then you do start to get agitated because the person is lying about how you responded, and then you kick them in the head. And they did achieve their stated goal. I wouldn't be surprised. Now, I don't know. I don't, like, because obviously, yeah, there was something there between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
And people are trying to extract out any drama they can. So I don't know if they're on a texting relationship or not. I'm guessing Josh Allen, some part of him was like, man, I should just text Stephon Diggs and be like, hey, man, you know how they do these things. Listen to the whole quote.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to, I was trying to watch out for my current teammates, you know? And he, despite having said some really nice things about Stephon Diggs in that quote.
He did. He did.
Okay. How does this matter? Why does this matter for Texans fans?
Yeah.
Do we want Stephon Diggs to see the actual full quote, or do we want him to only read the headlines and kind of be like, oh, all right. So this is how they feel about me up in Buffalo, huh?
Okay. So the question then becomes, which is most conducive to winning? Having Stephon Diggs, and we're talking probably specifically week 5 is what you're talking about here against Buffalo. What's more conducive to winning? A Stephon Diggs, it feels like Josh Allen took a jab at him, or a Stephon Diggs who maybe is thinking a little more clearly because he knows the truth and he's not ready to go on a 7-state killing spree in that game?
Yeah, I need Stephon Diggs to be in as clear a headspace as possible.
I'm with you on this.
I think this is... You know, the old trick sometimes people play in high school and college is they'll like have a, it used to be easier back in the day before the internet, you like write up a fake story.
Yeah.
And like a coach would like say, this is what was in the paper today back over in Chickasaw County or something. And it would just be a fake story. But everyone's like, we're going to kill him.
Yeah. Can't do that anymore.
But that can backfire with the wrong guy.
Yep.
You don't want to do that to guys who already have a permanent chip on their shoulder. Because sometimes it can push them over the edge.
Yeah.
So I think with Stephon, I would feel like, look, he can find enough motivation out there. You don't need anything that like might land a little too close to home. So no fake news stories for Stephon Diggs.
Do you think the Texans make Stephon Diggs available the week of the Buffalo Bills game for media?
I think they do.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, Stephon, usually he's really good in press conferences.
He's excellent.
You listen to people up in Buffalo, yeah, like he has awesome press conferences. He's very entertaining. It's just that every now and then, you know, he goes into, there was something on social media or what have you, and that's where things get screwy. So I'm guessing that they probably will, because that's something he can prepare for too. Like, it's just like, look, I know people are going to be saying a lot of stuff. I'm just going to get up there and say the nicest things I can think of. Like he did when in his first press conference. Here. He had nothing but nice things to say about everybody in Buffalo.
He did. I would submit that the other two big acquisitions this offseason, Danielle Hunter and Joe Mixon, said things that are going to be more headline porn in Minnesota and Cincinnati than Diggs said it would be headline porn in Buffalo. I mean, Danielle Hunter was gushing about this new scheme that he's in, and you could construe that as somehow the scheme he'd been in Minnesota was holding him back all these years, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not construing it. I'm just talking about what the internet can do to it. And Joe Mixon literally said that it's going to be night and day compared to how it was in Cincinnati this season, you know?
Yeah.
And again, that's something that can get construed a number of different ways.
Bent this way and that way. Yeah. I looked for it in Cincinnati after he had said that. And I think, the full quote there was more about how this scheme is going to be good for him. Because I think people in Cincinnati, for the most part, know that the Bengals scheme changed a lot last year. And it turned into something that's not necessarily Joe Mixon's strong suit, just running out of gun. He's not as good running out of shotgun as he is just classic downhill, running back 7 yards in the backfield and get ahead of steam as you're taking the handoff. That's what the Texans do a lot. So, I mean, but you're right. It does get they take the little snippet. They take the snippet.
Yeah.
You got to do more of that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I fear we're too responsible, Sean.
Do you think so? Do you think that would be good for the show if we started being a little more...
Let's abandon all of our ethics and, integrity and just go for it. Just go for headline porn. Yeah.
You and I would not be in a good headspace with that. I don't think. I think no. I might be able to handle it a little. You have told me sometimes. Like I'm able to handle like the Twitter smoke from things I tweet. You know, you don't like that stuff.
I don't like it. If it's just I get too personally involved in arguments.
Yeah.
And it just especially when it's just either unjust or irrational.
Yeah.
So like all of these talking points about the Josh Allen stuff, it's unjust and it's irrational. And it's honestly, it lacks integrity.
Yeah.
If you're writing headlines like that, if you're only taking one snippet of the quote or something, you're a bad person in that moment. You're doing what bad people do. It's messed up.
D'Amico Ryans, good person. Sat down with Kay Adams. Who is the number one wide receiver on this team? She asked him the question. I love D'Amico Ryan's answer to this. And he also talked about Stephon Diggs. We'll hear from the Texans head coach who sat down with Kay Adams from FanDuel Up in Adams. We'll do that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast. Guys from In the Loop will be popping in here in just a little bit. Here's D'Amico Ryan's. With Kay Adams, who's the number one wide receiver on this team, Coach?
Who's number one? Whoever gets the ball, that's number one, right? I think when you have as many talented guys as we have, Tank, Nico, Steph, I mean, you have three of the top guys in the league at the position. So it's just a matter of, CJ just going through his process and hitting whoever is open. That's number one.
the whole concept of the number one wide receiver has become just much more about fantasy sports, fantasy football, than it has to do with anything on the way the actual team operates. As soon as you have two good wide receivers, like obviously you're game planning for, the guy that you think can do the most damage, but it's not like in the old days you wanted a classic Andre Johnson looking X receiver that if a team went one-on-one with him, you're screwed. But that was before the slot and every other position in football became a very viable receiving threat at any given time. I mean, and it's been over the last 20 years. Really, I mean, the tight end was kind of an afterthought in a lot of ways, other than rare exceptions, where now it's a staple of a lot of offenses, where you, at times the wide receiver or the tight end is your WR1. So these guys get these questions all the time, and I think sometimes people think that they're dodging them, but it's really just a non-factor. When you've got a wide receiver room like this, there's no part of them that goes through and has like a depth chart in their wide receiver room of who the actual number one wide receiver is.
That the craziest part about what you just said is when you have a wide receiver room like this, because a year ago, this was this was thought to be the worst wide receiver room in the sport. You can go back and find it. Go Google position group rankings, and you'll pull up. You can't find anybody that thought the Texans' wide receiving room last year, which was largely these guys minus Stephon Diggs, was anything better than like 30th. And now you've got national reporters at Texans camp in Ohio sitting down with D'Amico Ryans asking who of the three guys that they got now are the number one wide receiver on the team.
Yeah. In fairness to people who make those rankings and everything, the tough thing with somebody like Tank Dell is that you see guys that fit that profile all the time. Okay, it's an undersized guy. He was lethal in college, but a lot of those guys just simply, they can't adapt to the NFL. It's becoming more and more common for all the reasons we just talked about, because they've got wide receivers are lining up all over the field. You can use them off the ball. Offenses are just better at managing any of the disadvantages they have. But even then, some guys just can't adjust to it. So you just don't know. Tank Dell almost doesn't get it. I honestly, in a weird way, even though he gets a whole lot of attention and praise, I don't think he gets praised enough for like, that it's still hard to be a small wide receiver in the NFL. It's more attainable than it used to be, but it's still really, really hard.
I think at least in the short term, and I'd feel even stronger about this if Tank hadn't gotten hurt last year and had actually gone on to put up 1,300 yards or whatever he was on pace for when he got hurt. But I was thinking about this the other day, Seth, just hearing people talk about Tank or seeing maybe a highlight or two of Tank, whatever. I think Tank, at least in the short term, might change the way that scouts and personnel people evaluate small receivers. You know, like
especially if they've got just freakish movement skills,
the ability to get open and the change of direction. Yeah. Like what Tank Dell is doing with change of direction and route running is stuff that I think, and I think the reason I say in the short term, I think there's a good chance the teams look at certain guys in college, say, wow, he's got a lot of the traits Tank Dell has, and they just find out there's only one Tank Dell.
It's kind of like Drew Brees, you know, like Drew Brees. Yeah. It's tempting to look at guys like Drew Brees who had a, you know, very prolific in college and a spread offense. And back then, there weren't quarterbacks that came out of spread offenses that did well in the NFL. And he was undersized. And it's tempting to look at and not realize just necessarily how, like, freakishly good his timing was and his precision and accuracy and all that. Some teams will – Tank Dell will ruin some teams' drafts because they'll stretch for a guy they should take in the second or third round because he looks kind of like Tank Dell, and they'll take him in the first round.
I believe that. I believe that will happen. Certainly taken higher than Tank was taken in the third round. You know,
I think Josh Allen has done it for inaccurate quarterbacks with big arms that are athletic.
Yes.
You know, it's just too easy now to look at him and be like, well, boy, if we could just harness all that raw power and athleticism, we'd be fine. But there's very few guys that can actually do it.
Yeah, you and John Harris talked about that earlier, about like the janky mechanics. And, you know, Johnny was like, you know, think of all the quarterbacks that have come into the league throughout the years, because we were talking about Justin Fields' mechanics potentially getting better with the Steelers. And Johnny's very skeptical about that because it's Dak Prescott and it's Josh Allen, and that's kind of it for guys who came in with and Dak was drafted in the fourth round because of it, you know? So it's just, it's not that easy, you know?
It's not easy, and yet people are desperate for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that's changed is, you know, Josh Allen was doing stuff in the offseason basically that they do with that the Astros brought to the forefront of the high-speed camera analysis and everything, mm-hmm. of really using a computer to break down his mechanics and figure out exactly just the little tweaks that he had to make. Yeah. And so it's more attainable now than it used to be, you know, and obviously Stephon Diggs was a big part of transforming Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the challenge Josh Allen has this year is kind of like what Deshaun Watson did the first year he didn't have DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
Deshaun became a better quarterback because he didn't become so reliant on DeAndre Hopkins. He had to spread the ball around.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to all of it, but it was it was a better version of Deshaun Watson.
It was a better version. He led the league in passing yards. It was not a winning version of anything, but he was good that year.
Yeah, no.
He was good that year. Coach said starters play tomorrow, talking about D'Amico Ryans. This is a text message, sorry. Coach Ryan said starters play tomorrow. You think Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard actually play? No chance Laremy plays tomorrow. He's in practice.
No, because he hasn't been practicing at all. Right. He won't play. Titus Howard, I don't know. Did we get clarification on why he left the field?
I haven't seen it.
But leaving the field, he did leave the field on his feet.
On his feet, and then rode a cart back to the facility.
Yeah.
Titus is good.
Oh, that's right. He was asked yesterday if Titus is good.
Yeah. Titus is good.
Titus is good.
Well, he's good, but he didn't practice yesterday. So
sounds like a bad ad read, like an athlete's ad read. Here's D'Amico Ryans for Titus brand soft drinks.
Yeah.
Titus is good.
The HEB commercial.
Oh, yeah. We're due some HEB commercials with CJ and Will pretty soon, I think. They filmed
I wonder
them.
When they wait until the regular season to start rolling those out?
Maybe.
I bet they get more nervous about NFL commercials because guys get injured so often.
Maybe
there's a good chance they pay a guy a nice fee and everything, and then he ends up being
McCullers has been doing them for the last 3 years or whatever it is.
It's a testament to his acting skills.
Have you seen the latest one where they're all in a car together? They're all on a road trip together.
No, I haven't seen it. I've been bad at commercial watching.
Yeah, the five of them. The five Astros that are currently in that HEB rotation. Bregman is driving. Pena's riding shotgun. And then in the back seat, left to right, are Tucker, Altuve, and McCullers. Altuve's the best because he has no lines in it. The only thing that happens with him is McCullers is annoying him by holding a pretzel up to his eye and getting right in his face and going, "I spy with my little eye." And Altuve just shoves him away and just keeps staring straight ahead the whole commercial and doesn't say anything. He's the funniest one by not knowing anything.
Nobody has an iPad?
Nobody has an iPad in there.
Oh, those are disciplined parents.
Yeah.
I don't judge anybody for giving their kid an iPad, like just to keep to shut them the hell up on it. But it's a. But I'm impressed. I'm impressed when they are like coloring or something instead.
Yeah.
I will not judge you because I've used the iPad trick many a time myself.
100%.
I babysit my nephews now. My God, it's
the best. The iPad, man. Text message, Seth. Please tell us how it works regarding progression. There's a number one option, and then you progress all defense response based. So this is someone wondering how the whole progression reading thing goes on.
Oh, okay. So like on any given play, when they talk about going through the progression, on a given play, you're kind of like versus a certain whatever the quarterback judges the coverage to be before the snap. You've got a receiver that you think is going to be open on that coverage. If he's not, or best chance of being open, and that's where you're looking. And then if he's not, you move on to the next one. And then if that guy isn't, you move on to the third one. The way that's evolved in a lot of ways, like, in it, you know, it used to be like the freakishly intelligent dudes that can do it, but now it's more of an expectation is that you also, like, you, if the coverage changes after the snap, you don't always have to go 1, 2, 3. You're like, nope, 1 to 3, nope, yep, running or whatever. But they're, so when you're about rhythm offense, when you watch the quarterback go to the back of his drop, when he goes to the back of his drop and he's on his back foot, he's looking at the first read as he's like kind of taking a gather step forward. If that read's not open, he's taking another step forward. If that read's not open, he's taking another step forward. So all of the timing of the routes really matters. And this is when we talk about receivers being in the timing of an offense. They want to be hitting their landmarks, getting in and out of their breaks at a certain timing and rhythm so that you are where the quarterback needs you to be to make his read when he's on that third hitch step.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that they got back to in Dallas last year that made Dak Prescott a better quarterback. They became a much more of a West Coast rhythm offense. So Dak didn't have to freelance as much. So Dak was doing the whole look at he's not making decisions on when to run. The play kind of leads you to it.
Yeah.
That you're just, all right, step, step, step. Nothing's there. I'm running.
Yeah.
And that was where Mike McCarthy did a good job as a coordinator last year with Dak Prescott.
That what you're describing there, that precision, that route running, might be the least sexy thing in the receiving realm that is so hyper important, especially in this offense. And that's where I feel great about those three guys, Diggs, Dell, Nico, is they are near elite, if not elite level route runners. They are really good route runners.
It's one of the things about sports that's really interesting. Like you go to any sport, you know, my wife's a volleyball coach, so I watch her and she's talking about, you know, when she's looking at film and everything. There's so much to the rhythm of any given play. And then things that you can do to disrupt their rhythm. That's why like a really good hard jam at the line of scrimmage against a rhythm offense can really screw things up. Because even if you don't end up covering that guy perfectly, the play's all out of rhythm.
Yep.
It's all out of whack. You've disrupted the clockwork to a certain degree.
Yeah.
So it's, that's the cat and mouse gets really interesting with the guys that do it really, really well on both sides of the ball.
John Lopez, Figgy Fig, they are here. Hey, were you guys worried like I was that Yordan's home run yesterday was going to come smashing through your window?
Yes, that was a...
How crazy was that home run?
Bullet.
Like it looked like a line drive right above the second baseman's head, and the thing just kept going and going
That's Yordan for
he's,
you.
We're on the verge of a Yordan storm, man.
It looked like, you know, when you get nervous playing first base against a lefty in a softball game? Because you got a lefty power hitter
you're
up
like,
there.
Oh my God, he's going to hit it to me.
You're about like 20, however long is softball. The bases are not long.
No.
You're right there. I felt like the center fielder might have felt the same way.
Crap, this is like, coming to me.
This is going to take my head off.
Boy, you struck a nerve there because that was always my spot, first base. Then you'd get a lefty and I'd be like, oh my God.
I just signed up to catch balls from the, you know,
You're at the end of a long tournament, like a long day at a tournament after you've had a case of beer, too. So you're like,
there's alcohol involved with that sport. Yeah. That's a great point.
Or what about the person that's trying to throw sidearm? Oh, this is like, yeah. Nah, come on. Like, I'm
from
cool.
Shortstop. Show off. Yeah, show off. How you guys doing?
Really good.
What's happening?
Really, really good. I don't know why I went to another pitch there, but really good.
Hey, John, I'll tell this story.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm disrupting the rhythm because I feel like you could appreciate this. When Vince Young, I think it was when he was in the NFL already, but he, you know, obviously not playing in Houston, but he was back here for the offseason. The softball league that my wife used to play at down there at the Sportsplex south of the Vince Young showed up one night just because he had a friend on one of the teams, and he was so they needed him to play shortstop, so he played shortstop.
Oh, wow.
And they had, so he got out there, and, you know, he's got to be careful about injury. He's like 10 feet into the grass at shortstop, and people are like, what the hell's he doing? Caught a slow dribbler, rolled to him, and they saw him throw to first, and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, it doesn't matter where he stands.
Yeah, that's funny, and he's not even considered an elite thrower. You know,
right,
what I mean?
Yeah, it shows you like how crazy the arm talent is of NFL quarterbacks. Yeah, he's just, it didn't matter where he was or how deep he was, he was throwing dudes out at first.
Dude, the funniest softball story, when you bring up slow pitch softball, it actually has to do with this station. This is back in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. And, John, I know you remember Jose Lima.
Of course.
With the Astros. Figgy, you may not remember who Jose Lima was. He's a former baseball player.
I do.
Okay, yeah. He was back like early 2000s. I won't say icon here. He was a folk hero. He was like a folk hero
from
here.
That
yeah.
commercial alone.
The
Casa Olé.
Hey! So this show used to be hosted by John and Lance.
Yeah.
Granato and Zerline. And they got to be very friendly with Jose Lima when Lima was kind of became a 20-game winner for the Astros. Yeah. Jose Lima would come into these studios here and sit down and do 4 hours of radio with the two of them.
I remember.
And he was insane. He was crazy in a good way. He would show up at Lance's softball games to play during the season wearing his Jose Lima number 42 Astros jersey or whatever it was.
And play. That's a born star right there. That is a wow.
He was, yeah. He would show up
that's and play. That's a baseball player.
Play
right there.
Slow pitch softball in his jersey and never pitched, obviously. He wanted to play shortstop and outfield and everything else.
My favorite guy on that team was Derek Bell. And it wasn't close.
What was his nickname? Operation Shutdown.
Operation Shutdown. Operation Shutdown. He would every day the Astros played, he would go to this barbecue restaurant in the Third Ward and get three sausage sandwiches.
That was his routine.
And eat them before the game. Three sausage sandwiches.
We didn't know as much about nutrition back in 1997. He was a good player, too, for them for a while.
Big time.
I mean, I don't know. Is he considered?
He didn't work at all. He was one of those guys that just hit baseballs.
Right. Was he ever considered technically a killer bee?
He was one of the integral ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always think of Bagwell and Biggio.
It was Berkman, Bagwell, Biggio, and Bell.
Bell. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Brandon Backey. I like to put him in there.
Oh, God.
G-Town through and through. All right. Well, you guys got a show to do.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.